Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to another episode of the Pod Daddy, man. It's your boy Ramon. Man, this is going to be special, yo. I got my man KP with me, host of Adulting 101. Also, a good friend of mine from high school. We know each other I've been living in South Carolina almost 15 years, so I've probably known you about that amount of time. So it's going to be cool to chop it up with you about anything, man. It's not an interview. This is a guided conversation, man. So, you know, relax. Have some fun, man. My man, Kenneth Page, man. KP, welcome to the show, bro.
Man, it's a pleasure to be here. Man, we've been dancing around this for a minute.
Yeah.
Glad we finally got it together.
Yeah, most definitely. We've been trying to find the space and the time. And, we definitely found the frequency. So, we're going to hit y'all with the 1-2. We're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Y'all sit back, man. We're going to take a couple drinks. We're going to, you know, have our fun. I hope y'all laugh with us. Enjoy, man. This is the Pod Daddy, yo. Get ready. So, you know, we start off with a positive moment every time. My positive moment this week is going to be a quote I heard actually on another podcast. I don't even remember what it was, but the host said, if you leap, the net will appear. And that shit really stepped out to me because a lot of times, us as humans, we let our fear of the unknown keep us from what we could do. You know, and sometimes when you're jumping from something that's high, it's a little fog in between that net at the bottom.
Yeah.
You don't see the net. You don't see what's down there. So sometimes you got to jump, get through that unknown space, get through that fog, get through that weariness, and that the comfortable space that you're used to, you're going to fall right into it. But you got to jump to get it.
Yeah.
You got to jump. You got to get through that foggy period. How you feel about that, man? You ever been in a situation where you just had to leap and just know that when you leapt, it was going to work out?
Man, I'm slowly right there in life right now. I'm slowly right there trying new things, getting out there. And it's scary. The uncertainty is real. You don't feel like you have that solid foundation that you had. You don't know what's going to come next. You don't know what's going to happen. And I think a lot of times when you're trying to branch out and do something or you're looking at your leap, you're thinking about how is it going to end?
Yeah.
And you don't want to jump until you can see that end.
The ending.
But that's not how it is.
That's not how life goes.
That's not how it works.
You don't see how you're going to die. You don't know. You don't know the end. You never know. When you start a book, somebody might have told you about it, but you don't know the end of the book. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You got to jump.
Yeah. I think part of that comes, we put too much emphasis on the destination and not the journey.
Solid.
We see the destination and we're like, I want to get there. I want to be there. I want to have this. I want to accomplish this. I want to attain this. But everything, the growth, the joy, the emotions, all of that is in the journey.
Yeah.
And truthfully, you can't sustain that destination without what you learn in the journey. Because it's not about just attaining something. Mm. You want to maintain it. Like
you want to have it.
Yeah, it does me no good to get something and lose it tomorrow. If I'm going to get it, I want to keep it. I want to have it. I want to know it's mine. And the only way I can have confidence in that is knowing what did I learn on this journey.
Yeah, you know the work and how much, you know what I'm saying, with the grind, what it took for you to get there.
Yeah. You get another, with that, it comes another level of appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
My first job out of college, I was a kitchen manager at this family fun center, something like Frankie's Fun Park.
Yeah.
And the kitchen had been shut down for 3 years.
Yeah.
I had to bring it up to DHEC standards. It took me like weeks, night in, night out, bleaching my eyes, getting it right.
Yeah.
So the destination was grand opening. You know, here's my kitchen. But that journey, what I learned, what I had to do to get it there, made me appreciate it more.
Yeah.
I took care of it. Like, my employees didn't understand why I was so anal about certain things. Because I'm like, you don't know what it took to get it here.
It wasn't. You saw the finished product. You didn't see the work.
Yeah.
The work. Okay, so we jumping into the pod now. We just going to jump right in.
Go ahead, pour this out.
Yeah. Open him up. Open him up. We going to jump right in the pod. And what you said was interesting because you were a fucking great athlete in high school. Like, yeah. Like you were, like, ranked in the top 10 in the state.
In the nation.
You were number 5 in the nation at your position?
Yeah.
Number 5. So, like, what the fuck, man? Like, were you that... Have you always been that dedicated and that anal and that work, you know what I'm saying? Just grinding that hard. First off, all right, let's backtrack. How tall are you?
6'4".
You 6'4". Right now,
300. When I was being recruited, I was about 260.
260. So, you know what I'm saying? So, we talking about an offensive lineman. So, we talking about a nasty motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Tenacious. Fucking all of the qualities that make a good offensive lineman. Fucking... responsible, smart. You got to know every play, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to know all of that shit. Yeah. So, like, was that something that you just fucking had? Like, did you just woke up and was like, yeah, my nigga, I'm the shit. I'm that dude.
I didn't know I was good until I started getting offers. I just wanted I just wanted to be better. Like, if you take individual qualities, size, I wasn't the biggest. Strength, I wasn't the strongest. Quickness, speed, I wasn't the fastest, but I just hated losing. You put somebody beside me, I'm going to beat you.
You got to beat
them. And then being coached by, like, Coach Jackson, his thing was, like, every game you play, this should be your best game because it's your next game. So I'm out there, and I'm just like, you in front of me, I'm going to win. I'm going to beat, like, I outwilled. If you got in front of me, I outwilled you. Wow. It wasn't that you might have been better. Mm-hmm. I just really did not want to lose.
And the majority of, especially athletes, like, mainly football players in general, like, that's what you hear from them. Like fucking, like, Jadeveon Clowney, he's like an outlier. You feel me? Like, he was just fucking talented. He was just a hulking beast of a man, and he was going to be where he was going to be. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, football players, it's like, yo, my nigga... I wasn't the biggest, I wasn't the fastest, I wasn't the strongest. Nigga, I was stronger than you in my heart. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? From a heart standpoint, you wasn't going to put me on my ass.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's just the mentality that you jumped into it with.
Yeah, you just, you're not going to beat me. Yes, yeah. I'm here. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And then I just kind of did, but one of the best things, man, my sophomore year, Coach Jackson pulled me aside, and we were watching film on the top offensive lineman in the nation.
Okay.
And he said, this is how your film needs to look. What did I see? I saw people running around, just knocking people on their ass.
Yeah.
That's all I did. I just, like, every game I'm trying to get double-digit pancakes and knockdowns. That was it. I'm not focused on the scholarships and none of that. I'm like, how many pancakes... can I get today?
How many asses, can I bust today?
And then if it's a play where I would block the lineman, now I'm trying to, it's hard to pancake D linemen, but linebackers and DBs, that's easy. Mm-hmm. So I'm chasing people down the field to knock them down.
And you always were, but you said you weren't fast, but you always were the guy that was able to get to the second level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's probably what made you number 5 in the fucking nation.
Yeah.
Like, you were able to get to the linebackers. You was able to get to the DBs and put them on their ass and spring a nigga that fucking, not to downplay nobody that played running back for us, but spring a nigga that was running a 4.5, 4.6 in the 40 for a fucking 50-yard run. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, other than Adrian, you know, like, we ain't, you know what I'm saying?
We had no burners on the team.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I was too stuck in my own ego to realize that I should be able to get coached.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you were talking about Coach Jackson. And for me, when I moved down here, one of the biggest things that I think kind of, I wouldn't say hindered me in football, but kind of, like, stopped my progression in football was just that I was just really, like, I didn't want to be sunned.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think that a lot of the coaches, and when I got to Florida, it was kind of, everybody just put their big old arm around you, and it was like, you know, everybody, you know, and I was just like, nigga, I don't need no fucking dad, nigga. Like, that's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But a lot of you guys, y'all were more coachable than me. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that I could have ever been number five at anything. You know what I'm saying? Even though I did make it to state, nigga, shout out to me. I made the state in track and field. But, you know, but you were infinitely more talent, more dedicated than what the fuck you were doing than I was.
It was coachability, being coachable, man, that's a huge piece of it. Man, one of the things that really helped me out a lot, being at different camps, that's really where a lot of things took off for me. Because now you're out there and you're going against the best of the best. You're dealing with all these other people. But I would have Coach Jackson and Coach Bacon like, when you get there, go do this. Like, even to the point, like, when you stretch, he say, go over there and stretch so they can see how flexible you are. Go over here and do this. Go over here. A lot of that was just me following instructions.
Word.
Trusting where they aim for me to go and just following it. Coach Bacon used to tell all his football players, if you do your part, I'll get you to college. If you go to class, stay out of trouble, and work hard, I'll find a school for you.
And for the most part, I can't say that he let anybody down in that. Like everybody who stayed down, stayed dedicated, was you know what I'm saying, did what he asked them to do, had the grades, he got you to a school.
Yeah.
He got you to a school.
He did that. So I don't look back on my skill and talk about how good I was.
Mm-hmm.
I look back on it as like I just outworked people. You know, in the weight room at high school.
Beautiful a little bit though.
People didn't know that on Saturdays after the game, mm-hmm. I'm at the school working out. Summers.
Yeah.
I used to work out we had morning and afternoon. I work out in the morning, come back, work out in the afternoon.
Yeah, you did both. You did both days.
Yeah.
I knew you did that because I didn't train at both of them, but I was just there.
that was, man, on that team.
I just used to pull up, you know what I'm saying, see what was popping.
I didn't want no one to be able to look back and say they outworked me. You might have been better than me, but nobody was going to outwork me.
But there was nobody on our team better than you. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe, like, from a talent standpoint, you and Eric probably were the only ones that could look at each other and say, you know, we kind of eye to eye.
Eric was such a good fucking
dog.
Eric was that athlete. He was good in every sport.
It didn't matter it didn't matter what it was. And it was certain people like that. You could have made them play baseball. You could have put him, anything, you could have put a fucking lacrosse stick in his hand and told him that this is how you do this.
Yeah.
And he would, okay.
Yeah.
But also, Eric was smart as fuck.
A genius.
He's a fucking honor student.
A genius.
Honor student. And he'll kill you.
Yeah.
Not allegedly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, some people, like, and I think that's the thing, like, that when you talk about athletes, just that level, there's a certain level of talent that goes with that. But yeah, there's a certain level of dedication that has to come along with it. Like, or else you end up like a Jamarcus Russell or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like what the fuck, man?
It's a grind. A consistent grind. A nonstop. That's why I lost it.
Okay, so let's get there. Because I was just about to, okay. Yeah. So in high school, ain't nobody going to outwork me. You turn that into a scholarship to Clemson. This is before Clemson was fucking Clemson.
Yeah.
But Clemson is still Clemson.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you still got a scholarship to Clemson. You know what I mean? And what happened there? What the fuck, man? You didn't graduate from Clemson.
Nah. I was there for 3 semesters. They really probably could have kicked me out my first semester.
Mm-hmm.
I just, all that work and stuff I did, like, I didn't go to a whole lot of parties and stuff. Like, I went out, I had fun, but football was first. Work was first. I got to college, I got to Clemson, man, I had fun. I had fun. That's no other way. I had fun. I wasn't going to class. I wasn't working out. Mm-hmm. I wasn't working hard in football. I was just there. And I think part of it, I started smelling myself. See,
you got the scholarship, and you was like, yo, I'm bad, dude.
Yeah.
So one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, when did you said that you realized you was good in football. when you started getting offers.
Yeah.
But once you got the Clemson thing, that's when you knew you was that nigga?
I knew I was that nigga when I went to the Nike camp in Georgia. See, Georgia was funny. I probably had like 40, 50 offers at this point.
Okay.
Georgia was like, anybody can look good. We got to see you in person. Like, we want to know that you're good.
Yeah.
So I went down to Nike camp. As I was walking off the field, like, the camp ain't even all the way over. I get a phone call, and Georgia's offering me. And I'm so arrogant at that moment. I'm like, I'm not going to UGA. You should have known. Like, you should have offered me back then. Like, you're going to wait until I came here. And then I remember being at the camp where it's every defensive lineman, their coach is like, you got to beat him. Like, fuck all of them. It don't matter what you got. He's the best lineman. You got to beat him. Mm. And after coming, I was like, oh, okay, I'm good. Being down at these all-star games, down in Disneyland for the Under Armour All-American game, I'm like, it's a lot of niggas that don't make it here.
Bro, man, that fucking journey is amazing, bro. We about to get to Clemson, but so you played in the Under Armour All-American game?
Yeah.
So who was in your class? Man. Who was in the league? Who went to the league that you bust they ass? It had to be one person.
I don't remember. I don't remember. Once you get to that level, so you're going to bust everybody's ass. That's just, you're supposed to. But yeah, when you start elite versus elite, you don't bust their ass. You just win.
You win the battle.
And then also with that, I wasn't used to losing battles. I never really faced people in high school that was on my level. Like, I had a comp, like, you can't do nothing with me.
Yeah.
But you get to that level, it's like... Because
you play offense and defensive line. And, I mean, at our school, you were the best at both.
I was out there. And it was like, damn, you get out there, okay, I'm number 5 in the nation. I'm here for a reason. This guy's number 3 in the nation. And then you go against him, it's like, I see why this nigga's number 3 in the nation. Like, let's do this.
Solo the dog making his weekly appearance. Just ignore Solo.
But it's like, nah, these cats are good.
Yeah.
So sometimes, like, you'll go against someone that's strong but don't have speed. Mm-hmm. You'll go against someone that got speed but is not strong.
Mm-hmm.
These niggas the total package. And it's another level of competition right there.
Yeah.
And I did adjust well.
Okay, so what happened at Clemson? You at Clemson, you feeling yourself. You've been busting ass. You get to Clemson, and what happens? Did you redshirt your first year?
I redshirted so I came off a shoulder surgery, so I knew I wasn't going to play. So I was recovering all my redshirt.
So you was hurt your whole senior year?
I had surgery before that. I was supposed to have surgery on my ankle. I had hip problems and a shoulder issue, but because I played sports year round, I never took the time off. Until my senior year.
Because you were also the best shot put thrower.
That's a funny story. Yeah. Out there with Coach, man. Rest in peace, Coach Jackson.
We going to get that out.
My coach and all of that. But doing all of those things, I never gave myself a chance to heal. After my senior season, I had the shoulder surgery. And it was going to take me a labrum repair. Take a couple months to heal. But I'm at Clemson now. So it's like, you know you're not going to play. Have fun.
So when you got the... When you got to Clemson, had you not have had to get the surgery, would you have played?
I would have had a chance. I could have earned it. It's one of those things where, can you compete for it? You know, I literally wasn't physically able to compete for it.
Okay.
So it was just an understanding I wasn't going to play.
So when you redshirted, it was like, all right, fuck it, I'm out there.
That's all I did. Man, I remember before... games, not before. We had a scrimmage one day, Saturday early morning. They come around doing the room search, like they check everything you do. And all the other players sleep. I'm at a party. The room checker walk up. I think I had the blunt in my hand. We just looked at each other. Just
what's up, bro?
Yeah, I was just unfocused, enjoying myself. The women, smoking, the drinking, I had a good time.
So, bro. The women.
I did whole shit.
What was it like being an athlete at Clemson, my nigga. Was okay. Is that a real thing, nigga? Is that a real thing? Like, yo, I'm a football player. Pussy.
If you're a starter, it is.
Okay.
If your name get called, they see your picture during the game, you is.
You was getting your pussy off of you, though.
Per se, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Place your flag in that, too, nigga. You was getting your... The women wasn't a bipartisan of the football. The women was you.
It's a mix of it. It's a mix of all of it. Women know how far they want to go with you. You're not going to get that much out of them. They don't want to give. So part of that is like, okay, he's a football player. So that sparked their interest. And I just had a great personality. Mm-hmm. Like, I was always intoxicated.
Always intoxicated.
Yeah.
So
now I'm extra lovable. Because you know, when you sober, you got limits. Like, I ain't going to say this. I ain't going to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
When I'm drunk, whatever came to my mind, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it. And most of the time, it worked out well.
Did you ever have aspirations of pledging while you were in school?
I did. Until I found out how much it cost. Mm. I was so ready to play. So everyone was like, oh, you're going to be a Q. You look like a Q. I'm like, well, shit, I'm going to be a Kappa. Just to like, fuck y'all.
Just to fuck the game up.
Then I heard like, oh, you know, it's going to cost about $900.
Wait, it's going to be a Kappa?
Yeah, I was ready to shit.
No!
I was out. That was for me. I was ready to do it. My uncle's the biggest Q in the world. Me and him would have fought.
Yeah.
I would definitely would have came to his house with the cane.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I found out how much it cost. I'm like, I ain't paying for this shit.
Yeah.
And that was the end of my pledge. But
there wasn't no, I thought that there's no concessions for, you know, shit, nigga, I'm a football player, nigga, I'm not that good.
I didn't go that far. I heard it cost this much. Mm-hmm. It ain't worth it.
Okay.
It ain't worth it, so.
I feel you. All right, so let's get back to Clemson. You're at Clemson, and shit, you're getting fucked up.
Yeah.
You're getting fucked up. You said you lasted 3 semesters.
Yeah.
So you redshirted the first year.
Mm-hmm.
When you came back, did you get an opportunity to play?
Yeah. I was actually, because I had previously gotten into a bunch of trouble prior to that.
Yeah.
And I'm actually doing the right stuff.
Okay.
You know, I'm moving in the right direction, but I haven't changed one bit. And it all still caught up to me.
Okay.
It all caught up to me.
So that was an ambiguous statement right there. You just said a lot, but you didn't say shit. So what the fuck was happening? What you mean?
The first time I got in trouble, I was at a gas station.
Yeah.
It was a big recruiting weekend. We had two recruits in the car, another football player, all three of whom went on to the NFL. And we get pulled over. We already stopped at the gas station. They ended up searching the car.
Hey, Kiddiff, I'm a very small podcast. You have to say their names.
Dwayne Allen, Jonathan Meeks, Brandon Thomas.
Okay.
They weren't doing anything wrong. It was all me.
Uh-huh.
It was all me. And that's the problem. Not only now is one thing for me to just be getting in trouble, now I'm putting other people at risk.
Solid.
And the difference between, and then one of the biggest things that I learned, the biggest lessons I learned, what is your level of contribution to the place that you're a part of? Because nobody likes a leech.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be attached to anybody that there's no mutual value being reciprocated. No mutual,
yeah.
If you are part of this thing, it's benefiting you. Wow. I'm at Clemson. I'm not paying for school. I'm not paying for food.
So what the fuck I'm not paying me? For shit.
Right. Yeah. So what do they want out of me? They want a football player. They want somebody, and not just somebody that's going to produce on the field, somebody that they can trust that they can make it to the field. Because all that other stuff I'm doing, not going to class, barely working out, doing stupid stuff. Man, I had police called on me so many times for, like, little misdemeanor. Man, one of the biggest ones is, like, got in a food fight in an apartment complex and bust a milkshake on the neighbor door. They called the police. Now, it's like, I'm the only football player over there. I fuck with anybody. Yeah. I'm the only football player over there. So now it's like, we can't trust Kenneth Page to be by himself for 5 minutes.
But do you think that, all right, so you say you was the only football player over there. Do you think that that shit came from, like where you came from? Like, bro, we was at fucking, at Florida. It wasn't like that. Like, nigga, football players hung with everybody. And you played mad sports. Nigga, you played basketball. You ran track. You know what I'm saying? You, like, Florida was so, was like, it was white people. It was black people. You feel me? And you could happen to have a white best friend by accident. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just by accident. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Like, do you think that was just because of where you came from? Like, you just was like, yo, I'm going to get to, I got to school. And it was just like, yo, everybody is everybody. Like, I'm not trying to, I don't want to just be with football players. I want to be with a regular person, too. Because you even said that you're, like, you weren't a separate person from, you were number 5 in the nation at our school. You were never separated. Nobody would have ever thought that you were number 5 in the nation, nigga, at our school. Like, because you were right there with us. So you think that was a good or a bad thing?
It's who I am. Like, I can honestly say that now. 31 years old, 31 years of living, looking at my license then, look at how things are going for me now.
Yeah.
I be with people. Yeah. And I'm not limited to the types of people I can be around.
That's solid.
Everybody has something in common with somebody. There's not a person on this earth you'll meet that you don't have something in common with them.
For real.
And if you can find that, you can build from there. And then I'm a student, man. I like learning. I love talking, but I love hearing other people talk. Mm-hmm. I love when people just talk freely. Because now I get to see life through your eyes. Because I recognize I can only see life the way that I see it. Like, the way I interpret it, the way I view stuff, it's a function of who I am. But when I hear other people talk and explain stuff, whether I agree or disagree, I still get to learn. Mm-hmm. I get another perspective. And, man, I think having multiple perspectives are important for successfully navigating life.
That's a solid point of view because, like, the most arrogant people in the world are people that don't want to see something from another. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like that's not that's not the most admirable trait. If you're a person that thinks that you're so right or you're so smart that you can't take criticism,
yeah,
then that's when you instantly become somebody that nobody wants to be around. Nobody wants to be your friend. Nobody wants to kick it with you. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you can't even take a criticism. I can't even tell you, hey, yo, my nigga, bro, you got that shirt on, bro. I don't like that shirt. And it's not nothing against you. You know what I'm saying? The shirt just might not match. You know what I mean? But, like, you got to be able to hear people out. Yeah. And a lot of times people not willing to hear people out. Bro.
Man, it's a blessing to hear other people's reasoning on why they came to the conclusion they came to.
Yeah.
That's the learning part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start grasping that, your ability to make choices skyrocket. Because now when you're looking at a situation and you're trying to measure the outcome or, you know, how is it going to play out, now you're seeing different perspectives, different angles.
Indeed. So, like, we talked about earlier how I was saying, like, I ain't really gravitate toward a lot of our coaches because I ain't like being sunned. Recently, we lost one of them coaches, Coach Jack. And Coach Jack was really, like, influential to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was probably because you let him be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, what was that? Like, what did he give you? Because, unfortunately, he tried to give it all to me. And I think I ran away from it at the time.
God is so good. And the way he'll place people in your life. Solo said amen.
Yeah, that's what that was.
The way he'll place people in your life. Man, I met Coach Jackson a little bit after I was displaced from my father. And growing up, man, me and my father, we spent a lot of time together. We did everything together. Wherever he went, he just took me. So I was used to being around a father figure. Man, my father he was a crackhead. My parents got divorced. They split up. He moved to Maryland. man, I seemed like all that shit just happened overnight.
Yeah.
And I'm like sixth, seventh grade at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was like the beginning of my, man, I almost got expelled from Creighton 3 times.
Wow.
Different situations. A pornography incident, a sexual harassment incident, an assault on the teacher.
You always like bitches. Seems like that always been a little bit of young downfall.
Yeah.
I don't mean to say women, my bad.
Touche.
Go ahead, though.
But, man, going through that, like, the beginning of my troubles are starting, and I, you know, Coach Tony walked me up to Coach Jackson and said, man, this is going to be your new daddy. Me and Coach Jackson have been tight ever since.
Wow.
I mean, because he coached me in football, basketball, yeah. Track, always with him. Man, when I would go to camps, rolled up there with him.
Yeah.
Man, I used to go to his house, kick it. He at my mama house, kicking it. Like, we spent a lot of time together.
So, like, the Under Armour and shit like that, did he go with you to those camps?
There. Yeah.
Wow.
Man, he would train me for the camps.
Yeah.
Like
Coach Jackson was, like, your, like, and fucking, like, he was your fucking, your sensei.
Yeah. And he was an amazing man, yo. Smart as all get out.
Most definitely.
And just love people. Mm-hmm. Love seeing the best come out of people.
Yeah.
He loved seeing the good in people. He knew that there was goodness in everybody.
Most definitely.
And just finding it, connecting it, pulling it out. He was a nurturer. Well, he was strong, too.
Yeah.
He didn't let stuff go easily.
Most definitely.
Like, he held you to a standard. Like, it was going to be some accountability with that relationship. But just, there's no way I could have made it this far in life without Coach Jackson.
Word.
I'll tell you one of the most influential moments with him.
Okay.
I was about 21, 22 years old. I come home to Columbia, and he had just had his newborn, just had his first son, Tyler. He was living out, and I moved to the house in the summer, had his new truck, and I'm walking in the house, and he was holding Tyler in one hand. He was like a newborn.
Yeah.
And then Tanya walked downstairs and sat beside him, rubbing on his back, and he looked at me, and he said, Kenny, this is true happiness. It's not the things that you can buy. It's not the money. It's not cars. It's not clothes. It's not flashing. It's like, this is true happiness.
Yeah.
And it don't come overnight. He's like, I'm in my 30s now, but this is something I've been working towards.
Mm-hmm.
And that did something to me. And now I'm like 20, just graduating stuff. And now I'm consciously in the back of my mind going through life like, I want a family. Mm-hmm. One day I'm going to have a family. One day I'm going to have kids and whatnot. I got to make sure I got something to give them.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're the best man you could be.
Yeah.
And you got that from seeing a good man be a good man.
Yeah.
That's fucking dope, bro.
Nothing against my father's an amazing man.
Yeah, yeah.
But just the timing for Coach Jackson and the influence. Man, we talked all the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't just stopping in high school. All throughout my 20s, everything I'm going through in life, talking to him,
mm-hmm.
hearing his counsel. That's another thing, being able, like, we talk about coachability,
mm-hmm.
That's the ability to take the words of somebody else and put them into action.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just about, no, you got to do shit.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, like, that ties in to what you do in your show, Adulting 101.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, is there a lot of the things that he taught you incorporated into that?
All throughout it.
Yeah,
The lessons of completing yourself and being able to provide something. He was big. He used to tell you. He used to tell me. The one thing that you got, the only thing that matters is your name.
Yeah.
You got to take care of your name. Like, your name, you take care. That's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to take care of your name.
Solid.
And you start thinking about stuff like that. Mm. Now it makes you think twice about the things that you do. Everybody work in progress. Everybody got stuff that we need to change and whatnot. Mm. But overall, what choices are you making? Mm. What decisions are you making? What do you anticipate the outcome to be of this? What do you anticipate the outcome of the people connected to you to be for this? Take care of your name.
That's it.
Yeah.
Damn, bro. Fucking so in your show Adulting 101, like what y'all be you said that y'all really just it's not financial literacy. Oh, it's just all type of fucking all aspects of being an adult, right?
Yeah, because we cover the gamut of what it takes to navigate through life.
Yeah.
Because we all know, like, a big criticism as important as they make the school system, and no knock on that because you need that academic knowledge.
Yeah.
But they're not teaching the things that you're actively going to be doing, mm-hmm. that you're going to be dealing with. Personal finances, stress management, learning how, you know, diet, exercise, and sleep affect your ability to navigate through life. Overcoming adversity, prioritizing, starting to teach you about different insurances, how health insurance, how that can protect you, life insurance.
Health insurance is a big one for me because after I got too old to be on my mother's insurance, I don't think I've had insurance since then.
Yeah.
And then as I'm getting older and you turn 30, you might need to go to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like now I'm looking at my teeth and I'm like, God damn, I could use a little whitening or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I need some dental. You know what I'm saying? I need all of that shit. So it's just like now, like growing up, it's like, now I understand like why, like something like that, that just kind of reminds you like, yo, you know, like, hey nigga, get some health insurance. Stress management. Like, yeah. Yo, that's probably that's the most important thing that I think that we need as adults. Because I don't think nobody learns as a kid how to deal with. Like, if your parents are teaching you how to deal with stress as a kid, then you got some dope-ass parents.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I don't know too many parents thinking about that.
Not at all.
That's crazy. So, yeah, you know, that's dope as fuck for you to have something that's centered around helping adults make that transition to adulthood.
Yeah.
That's fucking dope.
Good.
So listen, man, all of my podcasts end with something called random questions. You ready for it?
All right,
so I like to ask this question as just like a genuine icebreaker. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
If I had a superpower, probably to fly.
Fly?
Yeah. and just naturally, you know, being able to tolerate the altitude and all of that stuff.
So fly, you would want to be able to fly very, like,
fast and far.
Yeah. You want to be able to get the fuck up out of here.
Yeah.
At any given time.
I want to go get out and then just be able to explore stuff.
Yeah.
You know, one of the first things I do?
What?
Is just go see all different natural wonders of the world. Go see.
Go right to the Sphinx.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go see stuff that people just can't see.
Yeah. That's dope. Alright, so one of the recurring things that we've talked about is these women. What's the craziest situation you ever been in? Just give me one that's G rated you can say on the show.
Crazy?
Something that you look back at right now and you just laugh like, God damn it, how did I get myself here? But it was good though. Not so bad. It was good.
Alright, so this is an interesting story. Sending a message, a very sexual message, to my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this message will go, this is a hit for this girl and this girl too. So I copied them on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think nothing of it. I send it. Wow. Little do I know that the message at that time decided to copy the other numbers on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't end well.
Oh, man. You sent them a meat pic?
No comment.
Oh, man. All right, so.
Yeah, well, growth.
All right, so another random question. You watch the show Martin?
The regular?
Yeah, Martin.
Yeah, Martin. Yeah.
What's your favorite Martin episode?
Oh, shit. When he think they stole his Walkman. And he got the dog. He's like,
oh, yeah.
That's a classic. Yeah. Sitting there in all black, and they just sitting there. Okay. And then bro man walk in. You gotta get some new batteries too, man.
Sorry, I borrowed the CB. You forgot it, nigga. That nigga, man. Damn. That nigga, the time he did that shit, nigga. Damn. Okay, I didn't expect you to say that one. Okay, so I also like to ask people, what's your favorite Marvel movie?
Ant-Man. Yeah.
What the fuck? Nobody's ever told me that answer.
So, so it's a particular reason why. All
right. Bro, you bad big. So, you don't like the Hulk?
I love Infinity? Like,
Infinity War, the Last Avengers.
Yeah, I love that one, but I like Ant-Man because it explores a subject of quantum physics.
Okay.
And then it also explores the idea, like that concept of if something is infinitely getting smaller, how it relates mm-hmm. to its surroundings. Mm-hmm. What is microscopic to us was very deadly to, as it, then it starts dealing with time and,
That's fucking, okay. So are you into like black holes and shit like that?
I don't study them, but if there's a movie or stuff about it, like I love it.
Oh, man. So, like, a black hole, right? I fucking was looking at this shit. And a black hole is really, like, a quantum physics equation. Like, the way that they explain what it is a fucking equation. And they're actually changing. Like, the evolution of what a black hole is always. Like, at first they just thought it was just, like, some fucking, like, just, like, big ball of gas. But then they figured out that it's not just a big ball of gas. It's like light at like a fucking, I'm not a fucking expert, but it's like light at like a fucking really weird angle, you know what I'm saying? Mixed with like some gas and shit like that. Like, I don't know, bro. Like, all I'm saying is did you know that Einstein was responsible for quantum physics? Like, that's really, like, all of that E=MC² shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of that, like, that is, like, everything that Einstein did is, like, really, like, still to this day, the basis of what all, like, astrophysicists are doing right now. Like, fucking, that nigga was, when they say he was a genius, I didn't really know, like, what that meant when I was in school. It was just like, oh, Einstein = MC². But it's, like, way deeper than that. way deeper than that. That nigga Einstein is fucking crazy. I'm sorry you said quantum physics, and it just took my mind to a whole different point. But, yo, this has been a fun episode. Did you have a good time, bro?
I had a great time.
You had a good time, yo. I appreciate you kicking it with me, man, yo. If you made it through the whole episode, yo, I definitely appreciate y'all. Yo, the Pod Daddy is growing. Yo, the family is locked and secure, yo. Shout out to everybody who's been a guest, yo. Keep rocking with me, yo. This is the Pod Daddy 1.